kind of a church in transition because we were coming completely out of COVID, starting on the first Sunday in November. We'll go back to our Christian you can only have him back there for a few minutes. We need to back up. Let him do some things. Okay. Starting the, let me see if I can adjust the audio again. That's what I was talking about earlier. Starting the first week in November, we will go back to our starting the first week in November, we'll get our we'll go back to our Christian education and our morning worship service. And we'll start scaling back on a lot of the we will always run Zoom because we always have LT Angela Rogers and we'll have T Angela, we have India and some Sister Nancy and the Elsies and those who are not able to come out. But we will go back to our regular service and start at 10 o'clock, and then we'll have our morning worship service at 11. I'll say it again. We'll have our Christian education at 10 o'clock, and we'll have morning worship at 11. And we're not going to have a lot of space between the two. What we're going to do is we're going to finish Christian education, and we're going to go pretty much directly, give or take maybe 5 minutes for people to run to the bathroom and back and into our morning worship service, which is a lot like we've always done because we've never really had really long services here at Promises, because I feel like, you know, you do what the Lord has given you to do and then you move on. Want to do that. Working right now also, getting ready to go into the jurisdictional meeting, and we're looking forward to that. And that's what's really on my mind. There are some people who like to run all around the world being everybody's meeting, everybody's business everywhere. You need to take care of the business that God has given you to do.
Yes.
You need to take care of the business that God has given you to do. Other people are taking care of their business. You need to take care of the business that God has given you to do.
Yes.
I don't need to hear about all over, around the world, and every place else. My mind is on taking care of the business that God has given me to do. A man who doesn't take care of his own house is worse than an infidel. So when you don't take care of your own business, run all around, won't be in everybody else's business, but you don't take care of your own business, God has a problem with that. So I'm doing what I need to do to take care of business here in Gulf Coast. And that's where God sent me. That's where my interest is. That's where it lies. And that's the first thing I have to do. So I want to look this morning, starting off this morning, and so we have the jurisdictional meeting coming up. That's my concern. And we have new appointments this year that I'm really excited about. We have younger people who are taking over the different auxiliaries. And I'm really happy about that. Brother Sean Francis is going to take the Brotherhood. Minister Shonda Smith is taking the Women's Auxiliary. Crystal Russell has decided, has agreed to take Christian Education. And I'm talking to a few young women and young men about taking the director for the missions. And I'm excited about them taking it over and everything else I can put in their hands so the church can go forward. I don't need to watch a bunch of old people, you know, carrying on. I need to know that the church is going forward. You're locked in a rut. The same people, you know, they're getting older and older. You aren't doing anything to take the church forward. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm looking at it now. All of you that are out there, and Andy is working with me. Minister Hines down in, Missionary Hines down in Tampa is really doing an outstanding job with the admin department, and they're working hard, and Elder Latham and all this. And we really have our minds geared on our jurisdictional meeting and what we're going to do and how we're going to feed the people. We had a great missions meeting, which was really outstanding. And a lot of the people who felt like it wasn't interesting, those who they wanted to see wasn't there, hey, that's on you. We had a really great missions meeting. We had great seminars. We did a lot, learned a lot. Thank God for that. And so I'm looking forward to having even a greater jurisdictional meeting. I want to start this morning probably in Jeremiah 29. And you need something? Okay. Jeremiah 29. And I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning, and I'm going to record it. I'm going to record Zoom here. Because when Sean is in the back, she doesn't get a chance.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, when Sean is in the back, she doesn't get a chance. Oh, you can plug the speaker in here back there if you like, but it's up to you. It's a blue cord, and it plugs right in the front in the first mic spot. Jeremiah, we're really transitioning here in Proms. We are really going, we're getting ready to really go forward. I'm going to be fasting, and I'm going to do my full fast next week, and I'm going to stay there until the Lord moves, because we have some things we need to do. We really need the Lord to really make a difference so we can get back up on the firing line and start doing the will of God. I'm not interested in other people. I don't even need to hear about where they are. I just want to hear where God is.
Amen.
That's where my mind is. I want to be where God is. I thank God today for His grace and His mercy. Jeremiah 29, and about verse 11. And he says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Or it says in the New Living Translation, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then in 13, I like that one. In 12, he says, and then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. If you look for me wholeheartedly, in those days, in 12 in New Living Translation, when you pray, I will listen. And this Jack has already gotten warm on me. When you pray, I will listen, he says. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. That's what I really want to, and I'll just leave it the first part, take away your captivity. Most of us are captive, but we're really not captive by the devil, by Babylon. Most of us are locked in our own selves. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. He says, I'll bring you to, I'll give you a future and a hope. I'll bring you to an expected end. I want to look at Romans, Ephesians 4 from there. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and about verse 7. And then I'll go to 2 Corinthians. Ephesians 4 and 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. However, he's given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. To every one of us is given grace. This is something that we have to learn about ourselves. As Jesus, when Jesus comes, he's going to be, when we meet Jesus, the dead in Christ and those who are changed, those who have been resurrected, those who are changed, we'll all meet Christ. And we'll make up Christ's glorious church. We'll make up Christ's glorious church when he takes the church out of the earth. We'll make up Christ's glorious church. And so there's much about us grouping ourselves together in fellowship and becoming one in that regard. And Jesus knew that when he got ready to go back to heaven, when he returned to the Father, he knew that the one thing the church was going to have to do was they were going to have to learn how to love one another so there would be a church. so they can live together and be together. And this is one of the things, I know Elton Cook is tired of me saying it, but I know when people are, I've grown enough, and probably I need to grow more in God. I know when people sit and listen to me and they throw barbs about what other people are doing. I know the difference between when the Spirit is glorifying God and saying, look what they're doing, and when you're sitting out there in yourself trying to throw stones. Mm-hmm. I know the difference. And in God, what we try to do is we learn to just let them just roll off and keep on going because we're going in God. But God would have us be one. And when someone comes up to preach or someone comes up to teach, my mindset should always be, like in the Old Testament, when Nadab and Abihu fell, and Ithamar and Eleazar came up behind them, their younger brothers, the people weren't sitting back saying, I wish I could hear Nadab, I wish I could hear Abihu. That's not where their minds were. Their minds were on whoever is ministering, we need the fire to fall. And I want to encourage all of you, stop having this mindset of when people are preaching to you, I wish I could hear so-and-so. Well, if that's the case, go listen to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. But whoever is presenting the word of God, you need to have the mindset of saying, I really hope they touch the Spirit. Why? Because I need the fire to fall. I need a blessing. Whoever it is. That's the mindset we're supposed to have. Because ultimately, we need to all be able to come together and worship God. So then, that being said, collectively, we are a body. We are a body. We're the body of Christ. In our local churches, we are a local church body. We are gathered together for the cause of glorifying God. There are multiple things that we are here for, but ultimately, it comes down to us being here for our own salvation. Because God doesn't need salvation. It's us. And we're worshiping God and doing the things we do for our own salvation because joy comes in the Holy Ghost. Peace comes in the Holy Ghost. And righteousness, in other words, the Holy Ghost gets us right and keeps us right. And the Holy Ghost comes and gives us joy by comforting us and telling us that everything is going to be all right and making things, not just telling us that everything's going to be all right, but making everything all right. And our peace between us and God, and not only the peace or the reconciliation so that we're not enemies with God, the peace and reconciliation we have one with another comes through the Spirit. If we listen to the Spirit, then we learn to have peace, and not only do we have peace with God, but we have fellowship one with another, because John writes in it, he says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. And when we walk in the light or in their light or in the light of God, in the light of Jesus Christ, we have fellowship one with another. So I want to say to everybody out here, everybody who's listening, including Bishop Smith, stop trying to disturb people's fellowship with one another and with God. Yes. That's corrupt. When you come in and throw some gourd in the pot about something someplace else that nobody's talking about or whatever, you're ruffling, you're stirring up the water. Yeah. Keep our minds in one place. Stay on one accord. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. Stay with where we are, what we're doing. There's nothing worse than having, you know, it's hard to have a church body when half of their minds is someplace else. When we are having service, bring your mind into where the service is. This is wherever you are, you're supposed to go. So, Jesus' biggest concern when he goes back to heaven is that they become knit together and love one another. This is his concern. And that he says, and one thing I need for you to do, I need you to learn to love one another. That means not to have factions and divisions and I love this one better than that one and hey, I'm a so-and-so. You know, that's what Paul found out in Corinthians too. Which is the problem. I'm a fan of so-and-so. Surely you can like who you like and love hearing who you love preach, but don't let it get to the point where that's the only person that you become divisive because of it. Yeah. I have respect for one person, but I don't have respect for anybody else. Then no one should have respect for you.
Yeah, that's true.
we should not, you know, we're supposed to respect one another. You don't respect other people, they should have none for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're not worthy. And when you find this, and when all this comes together, this divides the people that are supposed to be the body of Christ. So whatever you're in, it's like, let me use this example. And I know a lot of you don't know about it, and maybe you can't relate, but some of you might can. Maybe you can. Let's use baseball. I know Ella Smith is not a baseball fan, but I think she can understand this part. She knows about baseball. Minister Stedmeyer's up there. She knows about baseball. She's a football fan, but she knows about baseball. Raise your hand, Sandra. Sandra, if you're listening. She knows about baseball. Baseball teams are like this. For a long time, Tampa Bay, I can look at Tampa Bay, Elder Sewell's a big-time Tampa Bay fan. He and I talk about it. Tampa Bay Rays, just about, you can look at any team and see great players that are from the Tampa Bay Rays. I can name names. Evan Longoria, Willie Adames, you know, just name all of them. They all used to play for the Tampa Bay Rays. And when they were in it, they were in it. All of them have gone to various other teams. And when they moved to various other teams, you know what they became? You know what happens when they come into Tampa to play? They're on the other team.
Team, yes.
They belong to who they belong to.
Yes.
It's the team that they're on, and that's who they work with.
Yes.
Matter of fact, it's a breach of contract. If when they come to play Tampa, they decide they're not going to play that well, but they're really hoping Tampa wins.
Tampa wins, right.
They're on this other team, yes. But they really want Tampa to win.
Yeah.
You see how it works?
Yes.
And I mean, and they change all the sports pick, they change all the time. And it's amazing how quickly they can become loyal to the team that they're on.
Yes.
It's a shame we aren't like that. So that when whatever service we're sitting in, we are listening to the person who's up preaching and hoping that God will move.
Yep.
Our loyalties are someplace else. This brings division.
Yes.
Causes people to be divided.
Yes.
Keeps us from being able to ever come together. And we go, we're just all in Christ. Well, they're all just playing baseball.
Yeah.
But they know how to work within the group that they're supposed to work with. In order for baseball to make money, because baseball makes money, that's the whole purpose of it. It's entertainment, and they make their money. Well, we're in God.
Yes.
We have to learn to work and be a part of the group that we're in, not just the overall group, because all of them on the MLB, Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And then they break down into the Western Division and Eastern Division. Then they break down to the conferences. They're the East, West, and Central. And then they break down the teams, and their teams, Tampa, Philadelphia, New York, whatever, L.A., whatever. And they work within the scope that they're in.
Yeah.
Church folk have never figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the Tampa Bay Rays. Say, well, you didn't do too well. Hey, we all just in baseball. Hey, play, just play. We all just in baseball. I hear people say that all the time about us. We all just CLGI, but you're supposed to work where you are.
Yes, that's true.
You know, it is important to the organization that you do the job that you're given to do where you are. So when Jesus left, he said among the disciples, there are going to be churches in a whole lot of cities,
Yes. Hopefully.
Because Yes. They're supposed to go throughout, preach the gospel, baptize the Holy Ghost, preach the gospel in Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. And the people in those bodies are supposed to work among themselves. And so when Peter comes back, when Paul comes back to Corinth and finds out that within the church in Corinth, they're not working together, but they're saying, well, Paul started us. He's the only one I'm following.
Yep.
Peter started. I got saved on Peter. He's the only one I'm following.
Yeah.
Well, I just came in here from Jesus, and Jesus is the only one I'm following. And he says to them, this will not work in Corinth.
No.
We all belong to Christ.
Christ, yes.
But you're going to have to get together and work together here in Corinth.
Yes.
And he says the same thing to them in Ephesians. He says to them that you're going to have to come together and be subject one to another. Right here in Ephesus.
Ephesus, yes.
And we all are the body of Christ, part of his glorious body. He says, but this is how you need to work. And I see, what is the biggest problem you see with this? Because it keeps churches from growing.
Yes, it does.
Stops us from growing. Because you don't come on in like you're supposed
to. Well, true, yes. Yeah,
and be where you're supposed to be. Let me get back to this. So he says in 7, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So to every one of us individually, God has given grace to do what we do. God has given us grace to do what we do. The thing I like about the Lord is God brings us along, and this I want everybody to write down because it is true. God brings us along individually. He has a way set out specifically for me, and this is what he says to them in Jeremiah. He says, I know what plans I have for you. Those of us who have more than one child, just because what you did or what you wanted to do worked for the oldest child doesn't mean it's going to work for the next one. Or the one after that. And the worst thing you can do is tell the second child, why can't you be like your big brother, be like your big sister?
Yeah.
It worked for your big brother. Why doesn't it work for you? Because I'm not my big brother.
Yeah, that's true.
And your goal should be the same in order for me becoming a successful adult. Because we as parents, we have ideas what we want our children to do. But let me make a word of caution to you. Since we're not God, when he says what he wants us to do, God is pure and God is righteous. Since we're not God, word of caution. Don't expect your children to fulfill your life. Your life's goal. This is what you want to do. And this is what you want them to do. If they do what you would really like for them to do in life and they're good at it, fine. But let it be because that's their life and they chose to.
Yes.
And I'm not referring to God. I'm just referring in this God because all of them need to be God. That they really must have. We only have one God. But God brings us along individually. And it's because he, it's like combing hair. You know, you comb all of them to get all of it to lay down. If that's the hairstyle or whatever it is. And for each one of us, God works with us individually so that we all fit. Mm-hmm. So we are compacted and jointed together. God works with us not as a clump.
Yeah.
You know, not as a clump, but as he's moved in us and works in us so that we all fit together. He bows down the edges so that we all come together and work together, so that the church comes together, so that God obtains his ends, which is having a glorious church that is caught up with him. Does everybody understand me? Is this anywhere near clear in here? Do you understand me? Does that make sense to you? God works with us. He brings us along individually. And it's good that he does because we're not all alike.
Yes.
Separately but equally, okay. He gives us all the measure of grace. He gives us what we need individually.
Yes.
Because all of us are not alike. Not all of us are not alike. Yeah. And in God, this was the problem with the law. The law said in stone, concrete, it could not be flexible and couldn't change according to the individual. It said that if someone committed adultery, they should die. So the woman caught in adultery, says she's caught in adultery, she should die. And Jesus said to them, if we're going to go strictly by the law, then let's kill all the sinners.
Yes.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, but that's true.
And then they said, well, we don't want to kill all the sinners. He says, well, forgive her then.
Yes.
That's where the Holy Ghost comes in, and that's where forgiveness comes in. We are not under law. If we were under the law, most of us would be dead already.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
More than once. That's where the Spirit comes in, and the love of God, and the forgiveness. So God works and shapes us and brings us along individually. We deal with earthly life differently. Hmm. We deal with life on earth differently. different things appeal to different people. I tell people all the time when they talk about going into the military, going into the service, ask them, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, and which service offers you what you want? Someone was saying to one of the, to call somebody and say, well, you need to try to go in the Army because I don't think you're smart enough to go in the Air Force. I told them, how dare they?
Yeah.
Like the Air Force is all these geniuses. Got some stupid people in the Air Force, just like they do every place else. Got some bright ones. You know, it's equal. People are equal. You
equal,
there's no all the smart people going to the Air Force. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not even remotely true.
Yeah.
We have different, you know, we deal with Earth life differently. Some people want to go to college, some people do not.
Yes.
I'm gonna make my son go to college. Not if they want to do something that's gonna be what you want them to do is be productive.
Yes.
And you want them to be good citizens. And you want them to be self-sustaining,
yes,
and self-maintaining. And you want them to have a good moral character in the earth. And
yes,
you want them to be good citizens. And you want them to be respected and be great people in the earth. But and you want them, and most of all, you want them to be godly. And you want and if you will teach them the foundation of godliness, they can achieve all the others. But there's no reason trying to teach my children to be godly when I myself, other than the fact that I sit up in church all the time and talk about how much Holy Ghost I got, there's nothing that resembles God in me.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go to clubs, I don't sit on no bar stool. I got news for you. When I used to go to bars, I didn't sit on bar stool. That's good. So, I guess I'm saved. Thank you very much. You know, I don't sit on no bar stool. Really. Our children that we bring up, both children in our families and young people in our churches, they look at us and make decisions on whether they want the life that we have.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what we tell them. We can try and steer their life around, and we're trying to be over them and smother them, be mothers and fathers. But if we do all we want, and nothing wrong with that a whole lot, you know, you can do that too. But ultimately, they watch us, and they pick up from us what they want, and they make up their mind what about us they don't want.
Yes.
And it's the same thing in the house of God. People watch us, and they get from us things that they want, and they make sure that they don't, that they are not bothered with what they don't want. And what we need to do is make sure that there's more about us to want than to not want.
Yes, yes.
There's more, when I'm walking in the light of the Father, there's more that I'm saying that you should be in God than more you should not want to be in God. I should have more of God exuding from me in the Spirit so that you want to be have more of my Spirit than less of me. It shouldn't be that my personality is such that you don't want to be bothered with me, because if your personality is such that people don't want to be bothered with you, they tend to let that rub off on how they see God.
Yeah.
They don't see God outside of you. I wish they would, because there's so much more to God than us.
Yes.
But we're lights, and so they're supposed to see God through us, not around us. And when our personalities are not like God, our personalities block. We might have the Holy Ghost flowing in us, but our personalities block their view.
Yes, yes.
And all they see is us.
Yes.
They see how difficult I am. They can't see how easy Christ is to be entreated because they see how difficult I am to get along with.
Yes.
They can't see how kind and gentle Christ is because they see how rough I am. They can't see how God speaks in a small, still voice because they hear how loud and pathetic I am.
That's true.
They can't see God's long suffering and God's forbearance because they see how stubborn and how obstinate I am. They can't come to God. You know, if any man lacks wisdom, if any person doesn't know what to do, let him come to God who gives to all men liberally. They can't believe that God would give to all men, would give to me what I need without chastising me and without rebuking me, because the people that I know in God, when you ask them something, that's the way they respond.
That's Yes.
About time you came. Why don't you figure that out for yourself? There's a Bible. Go read it for yourself.
Yes.
We do all kinds of things. So when they, so since we represent God, go ye into all the earth and teach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Since we're the one that, to, you know, seeing that we have this ministry,
yes.
We say, I have my ministry. I'm Reverend so-and-so, Elder so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so. And we like to throw that big name. I'm an elder so-and-so. Then act like you're an elder.
Yes. Amen.
You need to walk worthy of your vocation.
Yes.
You know, put on the new man and walk worthy.
Yes.
Because when you're not like Christ, you block the light that people are supposed to see when they encounter you. What one will endure, another will not.
Yes.
We deal with the earth differently. We need to figure out what one person will do, what one person will be all right with one person in the earth, or what one person will be all right with one person, won't be all right with all of us.
All of us, right.
Yes. We're different. Some of us, for example, what some of us consider a sacrifice, others think nothing about.
Right.
Some people think it's a big issue when you ask them to be at church on time. Other people think nothing about it. They show up half an hour, 45 minutes early. It's what we do.
Yes.
Some people, when it comes to money, I asked someone, you know, the jurisdiction, our jurisdiction is the poorest jurisdiction because we put all our money in churches and they don't have any money. And then we asked for people to pay assessments and things. You know, you get this big, what am I paying my money for? Like it's supporting me.
Yes.
You know, I gotta check every month just like everybody else. I don't need your money to support me. By the grace of God, my money comes from God just like yours does.
Amen.
What am I paying my money for? So that we can carry on the work of the jurisdiction and do the mission of the jurisdiction. And we don't ask for much. Matter of fact, some jurisdictions, they ask for $100 for registration, and then they ask for $100 power margin. When you visit, I notice you sit down and write out your check and get in there $100 power margin, and you only want to give Gulf Coast $25. Y'all would be ashamed of yourself. Sit up, write out a $50 check to somebody who does nothing absolutely for you, and then when Gulf Coast is after $25 registration, you want a wolf. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yes.
Different people, sacrifices mean different things. For some people, they don't have time.
Right.
For other people, you know, when they come to church, for them, it's a sacrifice. I came to church on Sunday morning. For the rest of us, what else would I do?
Yeah.
It's life. Yeah. It's life. It's like going to work every day. It's life.
Yes.
It's like cooking to eat every day. It's life.
Yes.
Different people have different understanding. They just, you know, different likes. What else? They love differently. Things that they love and things they desire. And what's important? Paul likes, what do you call them? Yadros.
Yes.
I have no interest in yadros other than she likes them, so I like having them because she likes them.
Yeah.
So I've learned to like them because she likes them. I've learned to take care of them because they mean something to her. They're important to me because they're important to Paul. That's the whole point.
Yes.
I like my guitars. My Paula doesn't play guitar. She'd never have one in the house if it wasn't for me.
Yes.
But she's not going to let somebody come in and stumble all over my guitars and break my guitars because they're important to me.
Yes.
We have different desires and we have different everything. We embrace different things, what we like. Some things we will catch on to and grab on to. Other things we will not. Just depends on the matter of life and what people do. In other words, what I'm saying is we're different. I like sports. I watch them to a certain degree, but I don't like them like some people. I'm not a fanatic.
Yes.
I like them, but I'm losing patience for watching a whole game, so I just record it and fast forward through it because unless I'm in the stadium, I don't want to see it. But other people just love every moment of it. They can deal with it or whatever. You know, and then what we avoid makes us different. What we don't like to be around. I don't like to be around braggers. If you've ever wondered what bothers me about some people, they brag too much.
Yes.
Even in God, they brag and boast too much. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to give the church money, give the church money. But every time you get up, don't remind us of how much money you give. For me, when I grew up, my mother didn't allow me to brag. She didn't believe in that. and see them leaving people talking about people. And there's two things that I notice in this particular organization that people do. They brag a lot, and they don't mind talking about people. And I grew up, and I was always taught better than that, especially people who weren't doing as well as you're doing. My mother had a much higher moral standard than that. My mother had high standards when it came to people and how to do things. And it wasn't one of these great big, my mother was super holy, no. But she had great moral standards, and she understood people, and she was, if anybody was like Christ, my mother was. She didn't run around talking about how much Holy Ghost she had and this and that. My mother was saved and sanctified full of Holy Ghost, but she didn't. And we knew it because of the person that she is, the person that she was at that time, the person that she is now. God's plan for me fits me. God has a plan for me that fits me. You know what everybody needs to say? God has a plan for me that fits me. God has a plan that sees me not only through the earth, but will see me all the way to glory. God has a plan for me that fits me. God has a plan for Charles Darnay Smith, this person, me, that fits specifically me, to get me not only through life, but to see me blessed, to see me delivered, to see me successful in the earth, so that I can have houses and lands and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, as he said in Matthew 6:38. God has a specific plan for me, taking under consideration my sacrifice, my willingness to sacrifice what I sacrifice, what I endure, what I understand, what I like, what I love, what I embrace, what I avoid. God knows about, he already knows on whether or not I'm willing to sacrifice what should be sacrificed. God works on it because it's a plan for me, so that I make the sacrifice I need to make. In other words, I give up what I need to give up. I learn to let things go. Something that is worthless to you is not a sacrifice.
That's right.
If it's not worth anything to you, that's not a sacrifice. You aren't sacrificing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You a billionaire. You really want to impress me with giving. You have $10 billion. You really want to impress me with giving. Give 9 of it away.
Yes.
Like you can't live forever on $1 billion.
No, right. Yes.
Don't you know, you're a billionaire. You give $200 million to somebody. Hey, man, don't you know in billionaires' terms, $200 million is only about 20 cents? That's no money.
Right. Yes.
You know, you got $1 million sitting in the bank. You come in, you get in the line, you give $10,000. What is that?
Nothing to you.
For us who don't have $1 million, it's a lot of money. But for you, what is that? What is the sacrifice? This is the lesson that people need. Yes. What we're supposed to learn when Jesus talked about the widow. He said that these people gave a whole lot of money, but this woman gave everything she had.
Yes. Yeah.
Where is the sacrifice?
Yes.
You know, God has a plan for me. He knows when I'm sacrificing and when I'm just giving my excess.
Yes.
He knows the difference between when I really reached in my pocket and, or when we talk about money, or not only money, but time. And not only time, but also when it comes down to emotion, God, and then everything else about me, God knows when I am sacrificing.
Yes, yes.
It's not just a matter of, I'll give God, you know, if I have time, I'll show up. There's no sacrifice there.
Right, that's right.
You haven't, for me now, since being in God is my life, coming to church for me is not a sacrifice. Now, if I'm going to have a Saturday evening service, you might say to me, we've sacrificed our Saturday evening, we come because normally we don't come. Or if I'm going to, now I'm doing a minister's meeting on Monday night for those who want to be in minister's meeting. I'm going to say, well, now he's giving up his money, but since I'm a bishop and a pastor, that's still not a sacrifice. That's part of what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
You have to learn what you. I sacrificed my kids. I went out and got a job. Well, getting a job is not a sacrifice. That you didn't buy yourself new shoes and new clothes so that they could have new shoes and new clothes, that's a sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yes.
That you never were able to buy a new car and you always drove a hoopty so your kids could be warm and wear it and have nice clothes. And that's a sacrifice. But that you just went out and got a job and all, that's not a sacrifice.
No.
You had to work anyway.
Yeah.
If you were going to eat. Now, you might sacrifice and get two jobs. Now your time to sacrifice, but you got to balance that because, you know, an hour is an hour. If you're someplace during this hour, who's with kids? You know, how does that work out? So then, God knows my willing to sacrifice. He knows how much I understand when it comes to being a preacher and a teacher. He says, in all thy getting, get understanding. And the way the Lord is leading us and guiding us, if you're the kind of person who refuses to understand when other people talk, and as they're talking, you always jump to the conclusion and decide that you already know what they're going to say and what your answer is going to be, you're never going to be a great preacher. Because
right.
You won't hear people out.
Right.
You might sit there and not say anything that they finish, but you stop going along with them halfway through the conversation and start preparing your rebuttal.
Right. Yes.
That's why you can't be ministered to. Because your mind is always someplace
right.
Fighting, you know, when preachers preach, your mind is always going through this computerized thing of what you're thinking and all this. What we like and what we love. What we endure, what we will not. God's plan for me fits me.
Yeah.
The brokenness in my life is for me. It fits me. You might not need to be broken where I'm broken. But God's plan fits me.
Yes.
It's where God needs to have me. While God has a plan for each one of us, one God fits all. While individually God might have a plan for each one of us, one God fits all. God fits all. He is all in all. I don't need to be like the Romans and have 1,000 gods, or like the Hindus and have 1,000 gods. I don't need all that. My God is able to meet all my sufficiency. Look at, let's see here. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5. And it says, "And such trust we have in poor through Christ to Godward, not that we were sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our sufficiency is of God. In another place in Philippians, he says, "But my God is able to supply all my need."
Yes.
It's in Philippians. My God is able to supply all my need. One God fits all. He's able to supply all my need according to his riches and glory. God's plan for me fits me. And this is why I have to be the preacher that God causes me to be. I'm not Bishop anybody else. I'm Bishop Smith. My anointing, God has given to me. I'm not trying to have someone else's anointing. God is the one who anoints, and he anoints each one of us according to the measure of faith. That's what he said in Ephesians when we read in Ephesians. He anoints you. You're trying to get what? I want that anointing. Well, you'll have to get it from God. If they really have an anointing, it has to come from God.
Yes.
They can't give it to you. This is why, Jesus. Look in 2 Kings, chapter, let's say 20. Let's see what's there. Maybe it's 1 Kings, chapter 20. Let's see what's there. I'm looking for the chapter where Elijah is. I'm looking at. Let's Elijah, when he gets ready to go up,
about 2 Kings, the second chapter.
Oh, that might be it. Let's look at 2 Kings, the second chapter. That might be it. Thank you, Lord. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Look at verse 9. Verse 9, talking about anointings. Took me so long, now I got to take you back to where I was so you know what I was talking about. Talking about anointings. And being able and getting an anointing from God. It is God who gives an anointing, not people.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
It's God who gives an anointing, not people. Now, I can be a man of God such that I have the anointing and I can lay hands on you and you receive an anointing, but not because I gave it to you.
Yes.
It came from God.
Yes.
It is the Spirit of God that anoints him. Even when he talks about Moses and it said that God took from him of his spirit and gave it to the 12, and I read in Dakes, and Dakes says, well, Moses was, he took a little bit of Moses' spirit, so Moses had less. That's not true. When it says he took of Moses' spirit and gave of them, you don't reduce the Holy Ghost in me because someone else gets it. He's saying the same spirit that Moses had, he gave to the other 12.
Yes.
It's not now Moses says Moses has less spirit because he had to share it. No, you don't have to share an anointing.
Yes.
God has all power. Yes. So he says to him, in verse number 9, it came to pass when they were going over to Elijah, said to Elijah, what shall I do for thee before I be taken away? Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit come upon me. And he says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. If you're here with me when the Holy Ghost comes to take me away, then the power will be here for you to get this anointing that you need.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're here when the Spirit is moving to carry me away, then the power will be here to get even a double portion of what I have.
Yeah.
How? It doesn't even make sense in the natural when you really think about it. I have $10. Elvis Smith asked me, Paul, you need some money? Yes, so what do you want? I want twice as much as you've got. How am I going to do that?
That's right.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense that, you know, if I'm the one who's giving the anointing, how am I going to give you twice as much as I have? I can't do it. It has to come from God. And so then when we get an anointing, now I'm back to where I was. God's plan for me fits me. The ministry that I have, I hear people trying to point people all the time. You look like an elder so-and-so. That's a young elder so-and-so. No, that person is who they are.
Yes.
In God.
God.
And God has a plan for them and their life. It might mirror somebody else's life because we all have the same spirit. We're all preaching the same gospel. We all, if we're working in the gifts and miracles, we all have, you know, we're working in the same gifts. But we don't become that person.
Right. That's true.
We don't.
No.
I don't need to become someone else in God. The person that I'm supposed to put on and be like is
Jesus.
It's Christ that I'm supposed to be trying to be like. He's the one I'm imitating. And if you are doing the same thing I'm doing, then yes, we will look alike.
Right. Yes.
Our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're in the light, like I am in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another with the same person. And the anointing that I get is of the same Spirit. There is one God, one Spirit, one baptism, one body, he says, and one Father who is all in and of us all. Yes, we're going to have a lot in common. But stop making it seem like I need to be someone else to get something from God.
Yeah, that's true.
Stop doing that.
Right.
You need to figure that out for yourself.
Yeah.
You don't need to be Bishop so-and-so to get something from God. Let God make you a bishop himself.
Yes.
You don't need to be Elder so-and-so to get a gift. Let God give you a gift himself.
Yes.
Amen. God's plan for me fits me. God adjusts me, and he adjusts how he distributes each one of us, but he does not change his plan.
Yes.
I'm almost done, and I have to finish this out on Tuesday because I still have more. God never changes his plan.
Yes.
He adjusts. God adjusts. Yes, God is flexible. Yes. He adjusts how he meets each one of us. He meets Zacchaeus in a tree. He meets Peter on a fishing boat. Peter's rough and tough, cousins, got a super temper, so God, Jesus has to meet him on those terms. Zacchaeus is a tax collector, he's up in a tree, he loves money. Jesus has to meet him on those terms. Mary Magdalene is a woman of ill repute. Jesus has to meet her on those terms. Paul is a self-righteous, hardened Pharisee, law-loving, can't-be-broken-hard-as-nails, whatever he is, and Jesus has to meet him on those terms. Thomas doesn't believe anybody anything. He's skeptical of everything that comes along, doesn't believe anybody, doesn't believe anything. Jesus has to meet him on those terms. And he meets every one of them on their own terms. How dare you say to somebody, you're so-and-so and so-and-so. No, they aren't. They're the person that they are. You need to learn that for yourself. So you can grow in God. God doesn't need me to be someone else. He needs me to be like his son, Jesus. Like Christ. So God adjusts. And so Paul learned this. And Paul said, I became all things to all people. He made the adjustment. Some people, the first time they come to church, they love it and stay. Some people, it's like you have to pull them by the hand every step of the way. Some people in church, they're the nicest people. You can say, hey, why don't you do such and such and that? They say, okay, no problem. Other people, you say, then why don't you do such and such? Why me? Ain't nobody else here? Why do you keep having me do it? I only asked you to do it once before. Why do you keep asking me? Can't you? And each one of them, since God is drawing all of them, then the pastor has to have the wisdom and revelation that the Holy Ghost gives. And he has to say, well, you know what? I'll ask so-and-so to go back there and do that because they won't mind. They won't consider it a sacrifice. So what you going to do? You're going to use the same person all the time? And he has to say, for that?
Yes.
And so what about these other people? He says, well, I'm praying the Lord will, the light in them will show. Because this is what we're all wanting. God really wants all of us to be like Christ. So God is not giving up and saying, well, because you're hard and you're stubborn and you just won't listen and you're obstinate, you just stay there forever. God doesn't change his mind. He lets you keep bumping your head.
Yeah.
Or he lets you keep repeating the first grade.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll never grow. And others will grow up, and they'll run all around you, and they'll boil over. And, you know, there are people right now who are running around doing a lot, but God has a time. God is a just God and a fair God. And he knows his plan for us, and he knows what he wants to get out of us.
Right.
He may never get it. You may be saved until Jesus comes. And God may never get the fruit from you that God would desire. But it's your loss, not his.
Yes.
Because the more you produce in God, the more God does in you. And it's not because he's repaying you because you're a good producer. Because as you change and move towards the Spirit, this is my last point, it isn't that God gives you more and more because you're a good producer. Some people are just great. You know, look at the politicians. They can draw whole nations towards them. They just ungodly as it comes. So drawing people is not just necessarily a God. People do it all the time. They use their money, they influence TV and everything, and you draw people. But they don't have the light that you have in God. They don't have the peace. They don't have the joy. They don't have the righteousness that you have. And they don't have everlasting life. Now let's look at it in the church. And in the church, yeah, here you are. You set yourself up. You ain't going to change your mind about nothing. Man, the way I got up here with myself, and myself is fine. I ain't going to change my mind. I know who I want to be like that. You can do that if you want.
Yeah.
Or you can ask God,
yes.
Lord, which way should I go? And what is the plan that you have for me in the ministry and in life? Because I want my joy to be full.
Yes.
And I want my righteousness to come from God. And I want the peace that comes from God so that I don't block the light of God, so that when people come, people are saved and people are, you know, so I'm producing because I'm not in God's way. You know, when you sit in a position and you're not moving in God, you're in the way. When you're a pastor and you're not moving in God, you know what you are? In the way.
Yes.
When you're a bishop and you won't listen, you know what you are? In the way. Well, I'm saved, yes you are, but you're in the way though. I remember in the military, when I was in the military, they used to have a saying, either lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Yes.
Either lead, follow, or get out of the way. And that's the way it is in God. Either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Let someone else, if you're not going to do what God has to do, for God's sake, don't hold other people back. If you take on, you no longer want to be a good pastor, let somebody else do it. Move on over. But each of us, God adjusts, but each of us so that we have to, but each of us has to adapt to his plan. God must fabricate in each of us, a life that fits his plan. I love watching the car shows where they build cars from the ground up. God must fabricate in each of us. And to fabricate means that they take a piece of metal that is nothing. And they don't start off with a frame. They take a flat piece of metal and make it into one. They fabricate what they need. Say, well, how are we going to get this engine to fit in this car? The motor mounts or the bolts onto the frame don't work. They said, no problem. They cut off the old ones. They make new ones that fit the motor and the frame. God has to cut stuff off of you and make new ones that fits God and you.
Yeah.
He has to fabricate, make something out of nothing, change you into a usable something that he can use. We're insisting, I'm already made and formed, you can't change me.
Yes.
Then if I can't change you, I can't use you.
Right.
You don't fit my plan the way that you are.
Yes. Amen.
I need you to be someone that I can mold. Your church is not that person's church. Your ministry is not that person's ministry. Yeah, I know. The ministry that God has given me, it is a ministry of Jesus Christ, but the person that he's given to, I'm not someone else.
Yes.
I can't make up my mind, this is the ministry I'm going to have, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Then I'm only usable for a small amount. Mm-hmm. I only fit in some places.
Yes.
If I fit at all.
Yes.
And when those places are no longer usable, then I don't fit anywhere.
Right.
And God needs to be able to fabricate, change me, mold me. He is the potter. I am the clay.
Yes.
He needs to fit me in someplace. You need to tell God, Lord, fit me in.
Yes. Yes.
I thought I fit someplace else, but I need you now to fit me in. I need a retrofit. You need to redesign me.
Yes.
You need
yes.
to reshape me. You need to do something. I want to be a part of this great church. I want to be a part of what you're building.
And I came along at a different model year, so I don't fit this building, but I'm willing for you to shave me down, melt me down, do whatever you need to do, and fit me in. I've made up my mind. God can melt me, mold me, shape me, form me, so that I fit into where he is right now. I'm not talking about 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I want to be in God today. Don't tell me what I used to do and how God used to use me. I want him to use me now. I want to be available to God, not from 15, 20, 30 years ago. Now. What do you want me to do today? How do I fit now?
When Jesus comes to earth, gotta be one of the most radical retro refits, fabrications you ever saw, because the man takes on human flesh. He couldn't have saved us remaining in heaven in his immortal body. He had to do something different. And then when he's in the earth and he's here for 33 years doing what he's doing in the last 3 years of his life, he's ministering and doing all those things, he couldn't save us unless he allows himself to go to the grave and be resurrected. He has to always obey God and fit into God's plan. We're trying to make God fit us. We got this. This was the problem with the Pharisees. Got that law 2,000 years ago, ain't going to let it go. Moses got this law 2,000 years ago, ain't going to let it go. That's what the Pharisees said, ain't going to let it go. This temple's been around, ain't going to let it go. God's plan was unchanging. But he had to fabricate a life for us. He had to change us and reshape us so that we fit his plan. I'm going to stop right there for this. I'm going to stop right there for today. I want to encourage everybody in here. If you got nothing else, I want you to know that God brings us along individually.
Yes.
That he does.
Amen.
He puts us together, but he has to have his power in each one of us in order for it to work. God's plan for me fits me. You know what you need to say? God's plan for you fits you. If you're trying to have someone else's plan, give it up. That's like trying to wear somebody else's false teeth. They're made specifically for them.
And that's true.
Your teeth?
Yes.
But they won't work for you.
Right, yes.
No matter how close they come to fitting, they won't fit your mouth. Their teeth, after all, you have a ministry. One gospel fits all.
Yes.
But God adjusts to each one of us so that we can adapt to his plan. Those are strong points. God must fabricate a life for us that fits his plan. Everybody say
amen.
I was going through my notebook deciding on what lesson to teach this morning. I was, because God didn't give me anything this week. I said, okay, I must already have something written out someplace. And the Lord, I went through and I looked at all my lessons, did the same thing, and I saw this one. I said, here? He listened to that. But I must have written this lesson 6 months ago. Well, no, I ain't been that long. Last month, probably. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. You can stop the recording. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your great... That's okay, never mind. We thank you for your great grace. We thank you for how you brought us. And Lord, today, Lord, I pray, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, you bless every one of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, wash us and cleanse us and strengthen us with might by your Spirit. And Lord, heal all those who need to be healed. Lord, I pray, Lord. Lord, loose unclean spirits from those that have allergies and all the different conditions, Lord, that are brought on by evil spirits. Lord, set free all those who have conditions that are brought on just by the environment on earth, the pollen and all those things. Lord, loose them and heal them in Jesus' name. Let it be so, Lord, that they're no longer affected by that. Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch in our bodies, each one. Touch Elder Smith in her body, in her respiratory system, oh God. Move mightily, Lord, by your Spirit and by your power. And Lord, make her always whole. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move in Elder Tiantor Rogers from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And Lord, let it no longer be said, Lord, that she's sick and she has this condition and that condition. Lord, you are more than able, Lord, to heal her from all that she's going through, from every disease. And whatever's going on in her, Lord, you're able to deliver and to set free. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move now and touch her. Lord, by the Spirit of God, and impart unto her, Lord, the healing that comes with the stripes that Jesus bore upon his back. And Lord, Sister Nancy in her situation, Lord, in her body, in her environment, Lord, fix it. And in her mind, Lord, fix it. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, deliver her from all that she will let go. Lord, if she will let it go, Lord, deliver. In Jesus' name. Lord, move for India. Move for Mother Ware and Minister Stedmeyer, oh God. Move for Elder Elsie and Sister Elsie. Lord, whatever their heart desire is, Lord, give them their heart's desire. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Sister Gamble this morning and her uncle, oh Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of God, I pray, Lord, you gave me a thought this morning. And Lord, you told me that if I would pray, Lord, that you would hear my prayer. Lord, I'm praying for them. Lord, bless all of our young people. Bless Paul Timaeus and all the young people who come in. Add to his number. Add to the number. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the fast that I'm getting ready to go on. Lord, bless it. Let it do all, Lord, that fasting and praying does. Lord, in my life and in the ministry that you give me. Lord, bless Minister Smith and prepare for her ministry. Touch her in her body, and Lord, touch her shoulder. Lord, give her a miracle that she will say the Lord has moved. Lord, give to me his rhythm. Lord, let us see miracles and signs and wonders throughout this church, oh God. Move mightily by your Spirit and draw men and women from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. And Lord, fill these seats with men and women hungry for the word of God. And Lord, when they come, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit. Lord, let it be a river of water flowing out, oh God. Lord, let it be a spring bubbling up to everlasting life. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon them. Lord, pour out your Spirit on the words. Pour out your Spirit in healing, in miracles and wonders and signs. Lord, speak the very thoughts and intents of their hearts that they will believe. Lord, move greatly by your power and we'll glorify your name. And we'll give you all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. You may be seated. Here again, I said, the first Sunday in November, we'll start our morning worship service and go back to our Christian Education morning worship service.